Okay, so this morning, as you all know, I like to do a whole lot of Bible stuff. So if you want, you can turn to the book of Romans chapter 8, and you can also have your fingers in Galatians chapter 5, or you could just follow me up on the board. We continue today with the series on the kingdom. Remember, we started off in part 1. We said in Colossians 1:13, he says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." And I just loved everything that was said and the songs we sang and the words that came, because basically in prayer this morning when we prayed and in song, we preached the sermon that I had prepared for today. And I hope you can see that alignment as I preach it. So, Holy Spirit, Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. And we declare open heaven. We thank you for an open heaven. We thank you, Jesus, that you are interested in everything we have to do and to say. And Lord God, we just rely on you so heavily this morning. Holy Spirit, would you infuse me and us once again, Lord. We don't have to beg for your presence because you're already here. But God, we ask for your influence over our lives. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we started in TK 1, the kingdom part 1, and we spoke about the five faces of a New Testament church. And that was basically, we looked at us being salt and light and our outward expression of our DNA of the kingdom. And when I walked in here this morning, even before we started to pray, my heart just felt expanded about the kingdom of God and how great he is and how amazing it is. And we understand there is a king and his kingdom, and we are servants or subjects, children in that kingdom. Nothing more, nothing less, but it is the greatest honor to be his children in his kingdom. And then last week in part 2, according to the spirit of holiness, which is also means the Holy Spirit, if you didn't get that from Romans 1, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, think about this, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, the Ruach breath, the pneuma spirit, breath of God, dwells, lives in you and me. If there's power in the Spirit to raise Jesus from the dead, how much latent power is sitting in us? Because we don't get it, or we don't live there. So we're going to talk about that about this morning. And then Chris spoke about the parable of the wheat and the tares. I like to say the wheat and the weeds because it actually rhymes better. And they grow by side and side in the kingdom until the harvest, until the judgment day, until excuse me, until the king comes back and takes his own, and there will be two judgments. One, the Bema judgment, when those that do not belong to Jesus will be judged for their sins and hell and brimstone and all that kind of stuff. And if you're a follower of Christ, you will also still be judged, but you will be judged for rewards. We do not have the same judgment. If you didn't know that by now, then you should be going, wow, isn't that so cool? The point is that we live in a dual kingdom. We live in a kingdom now and a kingdom to come. We live in a temporal world. We live in an eternity world. We hopefully that through when, as the weeds and the wheat are growing together, as the parable explains us, as we as Christ followers are growing together with those that are not of the kingdom, that we are having an influence on them, not so much as they're having an influence on us. And that would be a great thing. So today I'm going to talk about part 3, the kingdom fortress. And you might say, why a fortress? I'm so glad you asked because I get to explain that. Sorry, I'm going to try not to cough. Holy Spirit, Jesus, let me not cough in your mighty name. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. We see that throughout the Psalms, David refers to God as his fortress, his refuge, and his strength. And as we know, David, when we know the stories, he faced many physical and spiritual battles and throughout his life. And he had firsthand knowledge of God's providing for him and his providence. Of a strong fortress, doesn't matter what the attack was and where it came from, we could go into the fortress of Jesus Christ. And where we find that in the ancient world, the fortress, if you think of this kind of a fortress, we see that there was supplied with food and water and ammunition for the enemy, where the people could be protected and the city was locked up and they were in their fortress and no one could get in, because in those days there was the outer court, just like the Old Testament. And the fortress was built in the outer court, and then there was the fortress, and they had a thing called the portcullis. And the portcullis came down, and you were locked inside the fortress, and they would go up onto the parapets and the armaments, and they would battle and fight from there, not from the outer court, not from the portcullis, but from the fortress, the double thing. If we're to try and bring it into outside, it's like living in a bungalow or living in a double-story house. Now, we have been fortunate to do both those in Canada, so we know the difference. But today, I want to help us to understand that there is a bungalow, there is the outer court, and there is the inner court or the fortress where we live. We see that death in the flesh, point number one, death in the flesh, life in the spirit. Romans 8:12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. In its truth, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. This is a great promise for us. And fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Now, what I'm trying to say here, or what Scripture is saying and expounding on it, is that there is the outer court and there is the inner court. Now, we understand that from the old temple and the tabernacle, the outer court and the inner court. Jesus died on the cross, resurrected, the curtain was torn, and we have access to the inner court. We were living in the outer court in the bungalow, but we also have access to the double story, the fortress, and that's where we want to live. And if you just give me a couple of minutes, I'll hopefully make that a little bit more clearer for you. But we have to live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. That means I put aside everything that I want to do that is distracting and takes me away from God. Not everything distracts and takes us away from God, but those things that do are according to the flesh. And if you live according to the flesh and we do our own disobedient, willful stuff, then we will die. But other than that, we will live in eternity with God as children of God. The second thing is that there is a promise of victory over sin. Now, this all sounds all doom and gloom, but it's not, because it's liberating. Galatians 5 is the freedom book. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. When it says walk by the Spirit, in English it is an imperative present. It's a present imperative, which means keep walking along daily. As we go, we keep walking. It's not like just walk by the Spirit and that's it. And I think I can't remember who mentioned it this morning, and I know it's somewhere in there. But living by the Spirit does not happen by osmosis. I'm saved, I'm filled with the Spirit, and now I'm just living by the Spirit. No, because there is a war taking place. And we have to understand that we need to live in the fortress in the second floor. And we know that we live on earth and we live in a fallen world and there is bad stuff that happens around us. I know growing up in a very religious, whatever, denomination, that's the word. We thought that if we kept ourselves separate from the world, then we were okay. And I don't know how many times we read in the New Testament that Jesus walked with the sinners and lunched and dined with the sinners and spent time with the sinners. But somehow in this religious denomination, we got the idea that we had to separate ourselves and not be part of that. Which meant that most of my life I never went to movies. Because movies was devil stuff. I couldn't go swimming on a Sunday. Because Sunday was a day of rest. What were they thinking? Just if you're confused, New Testament, living under grace, every day is a day of rest in Christ Jesus. Every day is a Sabbath in Christ Jesus. We understand it. As a believer, we walk daily with the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us, but He waits for us to make the choice of, I'm not going to walk according to the flesh. I'm going to walk according to the Spirit because, Holy Spirit, I depend on you. You know, otherwise, you know, James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you, right? No, it doesn't say that. It says, submit yourselves unto the mighty hand of the Lord, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But we like to do ourselves stuff. And that is when we live in the outer court. That's when we live in the bungalow. But we got to get into the fortress, into the second floor. There is no coexistence with good or evil. There is no a little sin. Just like there is no such thing as a little white lie. It's a lie. If it's not the truth, it's a lie. Done and dusted. And I'm amazed how many Christ followers lie. I know nobody here. Nobody here. I know that. But there is no coexistence. We either satisfy our desires, or we satisfy those of Christ. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. To everybody around, to us, to you, it's evident. It's sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and I love where Paul says, and things like these. So this could be a list that goes on forever and a day. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now the works of the flesh are evident, and I warned you before that those which you do such things will not inherit the kingdom. That is evident. That is clear. That is not, well, what did he mean like that? We go around gossiping. That's what dissension is. That's what causing division is all about. Gossip is a sin, no matter how smart you think it is. There's responsible reporting and there's gossip. Just remember this thing. If people will gossip about others to you, they will gossip to others about you. Works of the flesh are evident when we blatantly disobey God's word and purposefully sin. Well, just this one time. No, that's blatant disobedience. That's when you have rivalries amongst ourselves. Paul writes so many times to people. Tell Hymenaeus and Hadronicus to stop behaving like they are and get on with each other. Tell so-and-so and so-and-so. And by the way, we're good as pastors. We do it privately. We come to you quietly and we say, listen, stop gossiping. Don't do this. It's not helpful. Treat your husband better. Treat your wife better. Treat your kids better. Blah, blah, blah. Do whatever. No, not in their New Testament. In their New Testament, we'll stand up in the pulpit and read the letter to the church. How would you like it? I should pick somebody who's not going to get offended. Okay. Vince, stop gossiping about Dom and get on and get together and fix your lives. It's your brother, bro. Trish, Kevin, get your marriage sorted out. How would you like to live in that church? I know. Boo, we gone. We're going to go and find another church that doesn't do New Testament stuff. Sexual sin, three times it's mentioned. Sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality. And then religious sins twice, idolatry and sorcery. Idolatry is anything that you prefer over Jesus. And you can pick the list yourselves. I'm not going to even attempt it. And then it goes on with all these social sins, and there's 10 of them, and such like. And it goes on. And I'm amazed things that they, where we would go, oh, that's a really bad sin. Fornication is a bad sin. Oh, but don't be envious either. Yeah, there's no degree of sin. Sin is sin. And then I love 22, because that's where you really want me all to get, because you don't like that other part. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us all keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. Amen. Thank you, Kevin. Now that your marriage is sorted out in front of everybody. Their marriage is good, by the way, just in case anybody missed something. The point is, are we cultural Christians or are we biblical Christians? Are we New Testament? Or are we just like, you know, many, many years ago, we did this play, and I know some of you might have heard of it, called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And one of the lines in the play, I remember, says, everybody who says they're a Christian is not a Christian. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, how do you do towards your fellow Christians? Well, I don't like to get around them. Do you ever worship together? No, I don't go to church. No, I don't do this. No, I don't do that. I don't. Why do you think? I know in South Africa, a lot of people think that because we're white, we're Christian. Because we have a multicultural. And for the black people in South Africa, a guy came along and he created his own cult. And it's called Shembe. Because Shembe is for the black people and Christ is for the white people. And we had to explain to those that, no, Shembe is just it's a cult, and Jesus is for everybody. And a lot of people in Europe think because you're born, if you're not born a Muslim or a Jew, then you're born a Christian. No, you are born a Jew, and you are born a Muslim, but you're not born a Christian. You're born a sinner. You got to give your life to Christ. You got to go and say, Jesus, accept me. I accept you. Our task is not to change God, but to be changed by God. Our task is not to change God, but to discover the God that is already there. Because we want to live in the outer court and we want to create the God that fits my box so that I can still do my desires of the flesh. Without, we need to know that the God who already is there, and this is what he demands of me, Because I am a follower of Christ. Because I say I belong to this king and I live in his kingdom. Unfortunately, we've slipped into the rhythm of life and accepted the outer court life versus the fortress life. We're still living into the and haven't entered into the fortress life. Where Christ came and made a place for us and has invited us to live there. Kingdom eternal, kingdom temporal. Kingdom now and later. I want to encourage us this morning as we look at this two-tier fortress where normal everyday activities takes place. And there are things that are above and beyond us when we get into the fortress. And that's when we talk about living supernaturally natural lives, but being naturally supernatural. Well, how do we do that? Well, it's because we daily. I know he might not be your favorite person, but I suggest you read Benny Hinn's book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit. What is it that we have today in this upper tier fortress today? What we have is, sometimes what we do is we relegate the eternal to, well, when I die, then I get into eternity. But I'm telling you today, you can live in the kingdom now and the kingdom later. You can live in eternity right now. A sealed promise and heir of eternity now. Victory, victory. If you've missed everything else this morning, remember this. We fight from victory, not for victory. Because we think we're all fighting for victory. I have to overcome the devil and the devil's against me. You give him too much credit. Because Jesus has already overcome. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, it says. We have overcome. He overcame the battle and we happen to live in the slipstream of the glory of the victorious battle that Jesus won on the cross for us for eternity. Well, are you saying the enemy doesn't come and try? No, of course he does. Sharing with somebody the other day, I think it's in the account in Luke, when Jesus was tempted for 40 days. And all his answer to the devil was, it is written. It is written. It is written. Just the word, that's all he quoted to him, scripture, the word, from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And then it says at the end of it, and the devil left him alone until another time. Because we think, well, that was it then. Jesus never got tempted again. No, he did. Plenty. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. For the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Those are our weapons. Divine power. Have you thought about that? The weapons that I have divine power. But what that also means is that it's not based on your ability or your strength. Because that's when we say, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you and I'm dependent upon you and I want to correspond with you and I want to work with you. Guide me and lead me into all truth that I may defeat the enemy. We have to learn to fight from victory instead of for victory in the same level that we are meant to. And all it is the proclaimed word of God and prayer. That's it. It's not about praying for 3 hours. Sunday, Monday, any other day but Sunday. And then push somebody over. That's not it. Go and study Jesus. You want to be like Jesus? Do like Jesus. Go and study Jesus. Jesus said, be healed. Take up your bed and walk. Demon, come out. In 24 hours intercession. I'm happy for those that do that. Please don't. But we make this thing up. And we white knuckle this so much. Why? Because we forget about the dunamis, the power that we have. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through us. It's not outer court, but fortress for God. we have the awesome privilege of being adopted to the full title into the greatest family on earth and in heaven. We have deep inside of us the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that raised Lazarus from the dead, that blew into the nostrils of Adam and brought him to life. The Ruach breath of God, Holy Spirit, New Testament, the Pneuma Spirit of God. By now you should all feel that you're levitating 3 inches above your chairs. I'm joking, of course. But we have to also know that deep within inside of us, there is never, ever going to be peaceful coexistence with the flesh and with the spirit. It will be at enmity and at war until we go, Holy Spirit, I submit myself to you. And the Holy Spirit says, there we go. Because we think it happens by osmosis. It'll just happen. No. Because we actually... looking over at this thing in the flesh with one eye, we're looking at the Holy Spirit in this eye, and he's a gentleman. And he waits patiently. Because alternatively, there's a whole sermon on this, there is no choice anymore. And that's one of the greatest things as humans God gave us, and that's choice. Because we live with the often in the... sorry. We live in the, who am I? And what is the purpose of my life? Wrong question. Because in those questions, we get our identity, we get our value, we get our worth. But they are temporal barometers by which we measure ourselves. If you want to measure yourself by eternal barometer, the question is, whose am I? And who is the purpose of my life? The answer is Jesus. This is eternal thinking. When planning, we should plan with God in mind. Colossians 3:1. Sorry. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not in the things that are on the earth, not that are out of court, things that are in the fortress. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. And we see this, that in this amazing family and son, we are not citizens on earth only, but citizens of heaven. We are seated in heavenly places. And I know that's a big mind bender, that my feet are on terra firma, and the more firm, the less terror. And I'm here. But spiritually, I'm seated in heaven above with Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, me, you. And we function. That's why we fight from victory, not for victory, if we were still earthly bound. We are citizens of heaven, are seated in heaven, a place of supreme privilege for us and divine authority. That's where we are in Christ Jesus. Setting our minds, our hearts on things that are above. How do I set my heart on things above? Well, let's not be selfish. That's a great English word. Selfish. Let's be selfless. Setting our minds on things that are above, an inner disposition of the Christian, our intellect, concerned for the eternal and not for the temporal. The twofold fortress. Number four, the revelation of the kingdom fortress. The first door warrior, the outer court warrior, is man, earth, and created things. That's where we live. But the second door warrior, seated in heavenly places, who us with weapons that are of divine power, are God, heaven, and eternal things. Are we equal to God? No, that's not what I'm saying, and not even close. But we are seated there with him because he designed it that way. First story warrior, outer court or bungalow, this world oriented. Everything's about this world and what's going on in this world and what's happening. And there is some good stuff and there's some shocking stuff going on in this world. But this is where I and a spiritual being are having a human experience in this world. The second store, fortress, where he is kingdom of God oriented. The God we want, first story, the God we want, the God who is, we said it this morning, who was, who is, and is to come. He does not change. We can try and fight the system. It's not going to change because he does not change. He has no shadow of turning. He is mighty God. The God of the gated community. And what I mean by that is this just our little us for and no more where we are. And the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. We are seed dispensers, seed purveyors of God's seed to the world. Well, you're a cultural Christian, you're a passive Christian. Or you can be an active Christian. Living in the duality of the kingdom of citizens. Kingdom citizens are people whose hearts have been changed, I said in part one. And therefore, there's a change in lifestyle. If you came to know Christ Jesus and your lifestyle didn't change and you didn't change, you didn't come to know Jesus Christ. You might have prayed the prayer. Shaken the preacher's hand, walked the aisle, never had a change of heart. I'm wanting to call us up higher. Kingdom citizens are people whose thinking has changed and therefore their actions have changed. I want to think eternally, not temporally. And I know we've got to make plans for tomorrow and the next day. But let's live for the King and his kingdom. Kingdom citizens are people whose motivations have changed. And therefore, their attitudes have changed. I don't do all that other stuff. Dissension, division, and envy, and jealousy, and all that kind of stuff. I want the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, patience, peace, kindness, self-control. All the, and by the way, you don't get to select those. Those are like a bunch of grapes. It's 9 of them, they come together. So you either have all of them or you have none of them. I don't like self-control. I like just to be wild, you know. Yeah, well, you can be wild, but don't be weird. I said last time, morphed from suburbia to the kingdom of God's goodness and light. Last slide. We have first level goals and emphasis, and second level. Number one is the gospel of self-help. Well, I'll just do it my way. And, you know, I like the Bible and the stories there, but they're not so. No, no. Second fortress. Extend the kingdom. That's what we want to do. We want to extend the kingdom of God. Personal fulfillment, first level, versus pleasing God. Well, it's all about me and how good I can feel. I heard a pastor say to me once, he wants to be famous. I took 3 steps back in case the bolt of lightning came. You want to be famous? Why? I just want to preach the gospel. I think if you follow me on, what's that other thing we have? Facebook, not Facebook, the other thing. No, where we can talk. Skype. I say, or WhatsApp, Skype or WhatsApp, yeah. I want to captivate the genius of plodding after the King. That's what I want to do. Because when his grace comes, I want to step aside so that his glory goes to him. Well, I want to take the glory for me. I want to be the one who knows that when I prayed for somebody, they got healed. You didn't heal them. God healed them. You just happened to be an instrument, an empty vacuum that he worked through, a conduit, if you like. Where am I? Self-guidance to guided by God. Self-support, salvation. I'll get through it. At the end, let me tell you, at the end, it's all going to just work out and God's going to love us all and just take us all to heaven. No, he's not. Let that be clear. self-help. I'm going to do it my way. No, I want to live in His holiness. I want to be true of that scripture says, I want everywhere for men to, men and women, of course it means, to raise holy hands. I want to be part of that. I want to be a royal priesthood, a holy royal priesthood. That's what I want to be. In His sight, not in anybody else's, just so we're clear. My will, first level emphasis, to God's will. I found Jesus. Remember that song we used to sing, I found Jesus? Yeah, you never did. Jesus belongs to me versus I belong to Jesus. It's subtle, but it's impactful. Christ exists for my sake because He's my like bellhop. I call on Jesus when I want Him to do stuff. No, I exist for the sake of Christ. I want to see His kingdom come. It doesn't say I want to see my kingdom come. It says His kingdom come. We can live in the upper story fortress without really giving up the lower because we get to live in both. We are seated in heavenly realms. In the natural, we live in the fallen world, as I said. I want to suggest there are probably some cobwebs and no furniture in some of the upstairs of our life. And we need to, because it has been simply neglected, because we live in this outer court world, instead of drawing down the portcullis and getting into the fortress, the high ground in any battle is the main place to be. You want to fight from victory, you need to get them to the high ground. You got to wait till they get to the portcullis and then have a look and see. No, we want to be on the top. We want to be watching where the end is. Holy Spirit, let's strategize together how we're going to deal with this issue in our lives. I've said it about three times now. I'm going to say it again. We cannot coexist with the enemy. It's not, you know, well, someone said to her, you know, well, it's like you have two wolves inside of you, one black wolf and one white wolf. And the one that you feed is the one that wins, good and evil. No, Bible says light cannot exist with darkness. So either we are light inside or we're not. We need to look up and out and through the parapet. Learn to live with eternity in mind and not be bamboozled by the here and now, but from the second floor fortress. The kingdom fortress of God is advancing and we want to be there. And every now and then, because we live in this fallen world, we come downstairs and have a look around. But our place of existence needs to be in heavenly places where we are seated in the fortress of this kingdom.